Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Holtcast. Cole Pettum here as always, and we're finally back for an opposition preview after Villa's crazy fixture congestion in the last month or so. I'm very, very pleased to say that's over with. I'm sure the players are as well, with games basically coming every 3 days or so. But nonetheless, we're back, like I said, for another opposition preview because we travel to Brighton on the weekend to face, of course, Brighton and Hove Albion. So without further ado, we do have a Brighton fan on hand, and that is Addy from the Albion Roar. So without further ado, Addy, how you doing?
Yeah, good. Nice to meet you, Cole. It's always fun to chat to you. One day you'll learn how to pronounce my name right. Good.
did I actually pronounce it wrong?
Yeah, it's Addy, not Addy. It's Addy.
Oh, okay. Well, my apologies. Okay. That's actually interesting time. Because like over here it'd be completely different, but I guess that's the slang of Canadians, to say the least. But
I should call you Cole.
Yeah, trust me, I've been called worser things in my life, so it's all good there. But let's crack on with it, of course, because this is a game where I think a lot of Villa fans don't know how to feel about it. We don't particularly play that well against Brighton historically, so kind of focusing on Brighton to kick things off here, since our November loss to you guys, how's your season been going so far?
It's got better over the last few weeks. I mean, we had this conversation last year, and basically it's been like our match reports have been pretty much cut and paste for the last season and a half, really. I mean, it's been brilliant performances, but leaving way too many points out on the pitch and not taking our chances and not getting the results that the performances have deserved. But we've started to pick up a few results now. We've had a brilliant week coming into this game with the wins at Leeds, then followed by finally getting the win at home, which we hadn't had for a while, against Spurs, and then beating Liverpool at Anfield. We're in action tonight at Leicester in the FA Cup, but we got a draw at Burnley last week. So yeah, I mean, we're starting to get the points that the performances have deserved, because as we know, if you don't put the ball in the back of the net, you don't win football matches, and that's been a problem for us.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't think you guys have lost in the league since Man City January 13th, if I'm looking at this correctly. So definitely coming into some good form, some good draws. And of course, I think the most notable one would be probably the wins against Spurs and Liverpool, respectively. Yeah. So that's definitely some good form. And it's always good to see, because from an opposition fan, or I guess you could say a neutral in some instances as well, it's nice to see you guys actually do well. You guys are actually playing some good football. And I think it's one of those things where it just takes time. Maybe it's one of those progressive things where you need different personnel. The longer you stay in the league, the players, kind of the higher caliber stuff kind of comes into play. And you'll see that, of course. And Graham Potter is one of those managers where he's a progressive manager. I wouldn't say him and Dean Smith maybe have the same similarities, but nonetheless, they like to play attacking football. And that's always good to see. I mean, you could have it worse and be a traditional Stoke, of course, and have the likes of Tony Pulis and just kind of sit there and think, you know what, at least we're in the Premier League. And it's always good to see Brighton wanting more, because as a fan, you always want more. You don't want to kind of be sitting there just happy with, I guess, middle of the table, right?
Well, that was the thing. I mean, basically, I mean, you mentioned the likes of Stoke there. And I mean, that's why we made the change from Chris Hughton over to Graham, because, you know, we stayed up under Chris and we were doing okay, but we were just pretty much treading water. And Tony Bloom said, okay, we've survived these first two seasons. Now we need to, we want to start pushing ourselves up the table, and we want to be starting to actually not play. The football under Chris that last season was pretty dire, to be honest. It wasn't much fun to watch. And, you know, Graham's come in. He was a breath of fresh air, got off to a great start. And the players were buying into what he wanted. But he also knew that he had to completely regenerate the squad. And from the first game in charge, the squad has changed absolutely dramatically. And the average age of the squad has gone down massively as well. So it's still very much a work in progress. To make that change and a change of style and manager in this way of play in the Premier League, it's a very, very risky thing that Tony Bloom did. But he's made his money out of taking risks. And it's beginning to work. I mean, the massive thing for us, I think, that win against Spurs two weeks ago now. Everything's all merging into one at the moment, isn't it? It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
100%. It's like, but that win was particularly massive for us because we hadn't won at home since the first game after the restart against Arsenal. So to get that win, we were the only club in the top four divisions that hadn't won a game at home all season, and I think that was beginning to weigh a little bit heavy on the players to a certain degree. And you know, we weren't necessarily getting what we deserved in games. I mean, that game against Man United where we got given a penalty against us after the final whistle had gone, when we equalised with the last kick of the game. And there should have only been enough time to kick off. And somehow the ref managed to find another 5 minutes and still gave them a penalty after the final whistle. So well done. Well done, you. It was a brilliant officiating. But then Villa fans know all about good officiating, don't they? But hopefully that monkey's off our backs now, and we turned the corner. So, and the confidence from that, we went up to Anfield with a brilliant game plan, and we didn't go up there and park the bus. We played football, and we limited their chances and took ours. So, it was, we're starting to look up the table rather than down. Now, coming into this game, the game at Burnley was a worry for me, because watching it, you could tell that the fizz had gone. There wasn't quite the same energy. There wasn't the same. I think energy is probably the be all end all here, because they just look tired. They look knackered. There's been a lot. Two big away games followed with a late kickoff against Spurs and all the travel that involves. I mean, in Brighton, obviously, there's not that many teams near us. I mean, we've got that burning smell from up the road. You've got Southampton, is a long way away, and then you've got most of the games are north. So we have to do an awful lot of travel. Obviously, not as much as a Plymouth would do, and Newcastle would say the same, because obviously they're the furthest north. But the travel aspect does take its toll, and when you're playing Wednesday, Tuesday, Saturday, Sunday, Thursday, whatever day ends in Y day. it's hard work, and these are human beings at the end of the day, and people are very quick to look at the money they get paid, and they look at their wage packets at the end of the month. But they're still human beings. They still have the same muscles and energy levels as the rest of us. Just because they're professional athletes doesn't mean they can perform five times a week, which is what they've been asked to do sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, earlier on, you brought up the FA Cup fixture against Leicester, which of course is today. Is that a concern for you at all? Of course, like for you as a Brighton fan, what's the priority here for you? Would a cup run be better than maybe focusing more on the weekend, or what are your thoughts on that whole kind of thing?
My theory is your job as a football club is to be as successful as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who wants to not take any cup competition which they're in, not take it seriously, then don't bother, because it's you're in it to win it. If you go in there and will not want to win the competition, then you're stupid. I mean, we're both Premier League sides, right? We both got a good chance of winning this competition. Obviously, you got a tough draw and went out to Liverpool, and you had a scratch team out, which was ridiculous. I mean, the whole concept at the moment of the FA Cup at the moment, it is a little bit weird, but it's a competition which we can win. We've never won it. We want to win it, and it's not like we're Accrington Stanley going into this game. We're Brighton. We're a Premier League side, and we're on a good run at the moment, and we want to progress as much as possible. Yes, of course, we're worried about the weekend, and I think it will be a much changed side. We do need to refresh it, because I think the players are looking tired, and maybe a few will get the week off to prepare for the game on at the weekend. But yeah, why shouldn't you take it seriously? I mean, when Villa fans were before the draw was made, you would have looked at the cup and said, "It's the FA Cup. Of course, we want to win it.
Yeah,
Who wouldn't want
absolutely.
to win the FA Cup?"
Yeah.
It's no one's going to remember coming like 13th, are they?
No.
But they will remember winning the FA Cup. It's for us as fans, it's important to progress in these competitions, because you don't follow teams like Brighton and Villa for the glory these days, do you?
No.
It's we just want to be as successful as we possibly can. Of course, we want to progress up the league, but we've got no at the same time we've got no divine right to be in this league either. So let's just be as successful as we possibly can, finish as high up the table as we can. We've got a decent sized squad. We should be able to cope with both games this week, and we'll go into the game at the weekend with a bit of confidence. I mean, we're still a bit miffed that you got the equaliser at the Amex last year, when we absolutely battered you for 90 minutes, and then your number 10 popped up, and as he always does seem to do against us, and get a goal. But it's yeah, we're looking forward to it, but it's going to be a tough game for us.
Well, yeah, I think from a Villa fan perspective, I'm just kind of hoping our defenders actually defend this time. I still have nightmares of why Tyrone Mings was in your box and our whole line was in your whole end when
Yes,
Danny
that was a
Welbeck.
great goal.
It was a very well worked goal. I'm still bewildered by the fact that where the whole defense was. But anyways, it's one of those where they're just caught sleeping, and Danny Welbeck just has one of those games. And it's great to see someone like him still doing well, because I think he's one of those players that just needed that mood. Doesn't really need to be at an Arsenal. They just need to be playing week in, week out when possible.
Well, he's in time and tradition, he's recovering from an injury at the
Yeah.
moment. He did come on as a sub against Burnley at the weekend. There's a hope that he may start tonight, because he certainly needs to get back up to match fitness. But yeah, I mean, watching him play for this, it's been refreshing to see a player like that come and play for us and want to actually play for us. It's and he's doing. I mean, you don't come to Brighton for the money. We're certainly not the biggest players in the league. That's I mean, we're in for Watkins, but you could pay him more money. Is the long and short of it. So we didn't proceed with that deal, but it was. But we managed to pick up Danny Welbeck on a free. So obviously we're paying it. He's not paying for peanuts, but he scored two goals this season. Neil Maupay's on seven. We're not scoring too many goals. We need a lot more goals around the team. Lewis Dunk's picked up a few now. Adam Webb says he has to score this season. Trossard's hit and miss. But Danny coming back and being back to fitness could help, because what he does actually do, throughout his career, he's not necessarily been the most prolific, but he's been very much a team player, and he's a creator of goals for other players. I mean, he's never really at club level scored that many goals at all when you look back at his history. But if you look, he's only ever scored goals for England, which is odd.
Yeah, that's actually very true when you think about it. I think when I think of Danny Welbeck, the main goal that comes to me is when he scored against, I think, United in the FA Cup for Arsenal. I think that was like one of his debuts too. But yeah, nonetheless, I guess when you look at Brighton, I think a lot of people, maybe if they don't pay that much attention to other teams aside from their own, really, aside from Neil Mopai, who would you kind of put down, or maybe what factor would you put down as kind of a secondary threat for Brighton?
That's a good point. We're starting to, like I said, we're creating a lot of goals. We create a lot of chances. We're fifth in the table in XG terms, if that's actually a real thing. I'm still not convinced what quite exactly how that works, but I mean, it depends who turns up. I mean, Leandro Trossard on his day can be a match winner. Unfortunately, we've lost Solly March this season to a bad injury. Aaron Connolly, he's a pest. He'll buzz around, he's certainly due a goal. Adam Lallana hasn't scored this season yet, but Eve Bissouma is picking up chances. And we've got Percy Tau coming into it. But we've got a very, very decent squad at the moment. And we're quite happy with the direction of travel, with the way it's going. And but the big player for us at the moment, the most important player for us in terms of the way we're playing and the metronome, if you like, is Alexis McAllister, who's only young. He's been nursed into the team. And it's a player, a young Argentinian international. He is absolutely, he's key to us. And him playing, if he plays well, the team plays well.
Fair enough. And I'm really only familiar with that name, to be honest, is because I probably bought him on 3 or 4 FIFA career modes. And he's absolutely crucial as a youngster and has a very good potential. With him, and just kind of a general kind of curiosity, is it Argentine international, but is he supposed to be English descent or Scottish with that last name, or
know? there is some Scottish heritage there, okay. But he is 100% Argentinian, pretty much. And his family have all played at top level. His dad was an Argentinian international. His whole family, he's got 4 brothers, I believe. They all play professionally as well. So, but yeah, he's already played for Argentina in the World Cup qualifiers. So he's doing all right.
Oh, you're never doing wrong if you're playing alongside Messi. I would definitely say that. But
he does look a bit like him. So
you never know. Maybe he's the second coming, a late bloomer. You never know what you have on your hands these days.
I don't think he's quite at Messi's level yet, but we live in hope.
Yeah, we live in hope. But anyways, before we wrap things up, what would your score prediction be if I could boldly ask?
8-0. I don't. Someone's going to get battered at some point, and I don't know who it's going to be. We've been struggling to score goals. I mean, I getting that home win off that getting like said, getting that monkey off our back and actually finally getting that win at home is massive for us. I'd probably go for a repeat of the 2-1 victory that we had at Villa Park, but I suspect it will be a draw.
Yeah, it's a weird one for us because, I mean, I don't really know how to judge us right now, given the crazy fixture congestion. It seemed like it was win-lose, win-lose, win-lose kind of thing. So it's going to be interesting to see kind of what Dean Smith has in plan with more than a 3-day break. So,
yeah. Well, you know, they'll have a chance to do some training. I mean, that's key. You know, you look at these sides, even the ones that are struggling down the bottom, you know, you've got someone like Sam Allardyce, he's never been relegated and is looking like he's going to have that on his record now. But, you know, he's not had a week to work with his players. It's been Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday for the last few weeks. And, you know, I mean, admittedly, that is a championship season. It's what they play all the time in that level. But it takes some getting used to. And like I said earlier, you can't discount all the travelling that's involved as well. So these things, you know, there's a lot of things to factor into it. And actually for Dean Smith to have a solid week with his players on the training ground is absolutely massive, because you mentioned that thing with Mings being not realizing that someone can be off, can't be offside if they're in their own, if the run starts in their own half. You know, those little things, those little foibles that need to be ironed out, which would happen on a training ground. They've now got time to do that this week, which we haven't. So that could be an advantage for you. But, you know, hopefully our players will get we'll rest a few tonight. I suspect we'll put out a strong team against Leicester, but I suspect we'll see a few others come in as well.
And, yeah, absolutely.
Like I said, we're excited about our squad. We've got a lot of young, very exciting players coming through at the moment. And, you know, we want to see them play. And the one thing under Graham Potter is guaranteed, we're not going to go out and splash big money on players, but what he will do is give the youngsters a chance. And if you're good enough, you're old enough. And we're seeing a solid progression from our academy into the first team at the moment. And that's been absolutely wonderful to see. And I think that's the way forward for every club, because the longer this pandemic goes on and the way that football is eating itself financially, having a productive academy is going to be key going forward if clubs want to be on an even keel financially.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I kind of like the aspect, though. I know we're getting off topic, and I will just quickly say I'm predicting 2-1 Villa. I'm just going to be positive with that one. But a thing I like about, I shouldn't never say I like a pandemic, but I just like the fact that they have to use the academies. You're seeing more young players kind of get an opportunity. I think that's kind of been the thing that a lot of people have been crying out for a long time. And you always kind of wondered where, and I think this is a perfect example, just with the football pyramid and how it's structured financially, really, it's never susceptible to a crash. And we're seeing that now. And I kind of wonder to see what happens with transfer fees and all that kind of stuff going forward, because they did get way out of hand as of like 8 years ago, and it's just been going on and on and on. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see what happens.
But I mean, but if you look at your side, mm-hmm. and you look at your number 10, who's your most important player, and the first name on the team sheet, he's the sort of player that your crowd wants to see in the team. He's Birmingham born and bred. He's been a Villa fan all his life.
Yep.
And you know, he's had the options to go elsewhere, but he's stuck there. And you know, having homegrown talents in your first team, it means a lot to supporters. I mean, we've got it with Lewis Dunk, we've got it with Solly March, we've got Adam Webster didn't come through our academy, but he's from Sussex, so we're claiming him. but we've got a few that are coming through the academy that are Brighton born and bred. We've got a few others out on loan at the moment, and our loan system is pretty good. So I mean, we've got a lot of exciting young people coming through, and you know, we're just delighted to see them be given the opportunity. And you know, a lot of them will make mistakes, but it's and particularly at the moment where every game is being watched by everyone on television. And let me just point out that football isn't a TV show. It's a living, breathing thing that relies on having the crowds in the stadium. We just can't wait to get back, can we, really?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, unfortunately, I don't really have that advantage anyways, and it's way too expensive to go do that. Eventually, hopefully, I will one day, but even to get back to like a Toronto FC game around here or something, it's just nice to get back to some kind of normality, as it would be.
I've been very, very fortunate in the fact that, I mean, we are through the radio show that which we do, we're able to actually go to the games and actually be in the stadiums. But it's soulless. It's just not a nice. Well, it's that's not truly true. I mean, we're very, very privileged to be in that position. But you know, it's going to the football. It's often a brilliant day out ruined by 90 minutes of football, basically. And, you know, you're not, you haven't got the preempt, you're not seeing the build up. You know, I mean, I cycle to the ground when I'm going. And, you know, you get into Brighton, and normally, you know, when there's a game going on, there's a buzz, there's an atmosphere, there's a frisson in the air, which is just the tangible. And, you know, I mean, particularly towards the end of last season, after lockdown, after when we restarted, you know, we had Liverpool, Arsenal, Man United, Man City coming down to the Amex to play. And, you know, normally when those games are on, there's a buzz, there's an atmosphere in the town. Everyone's talking about it. There's a vibrancy, there's a colour. And you get, I was getting into town and there's nothing. You get to the ground and there's nothing. And, you know, once the game starts, then you're concentrating on that. But you're not there having a beer with your mates. You're not having your post-mortem in the pub afterwards. And, you know, I just can't wait to get back to normality, to have the banter with the away fans again, and hanging out with you guys in the pub, and seeing all your friends. It's important, particularly for a lot of people with mental health issues. This is the only time they get out of the house. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's not to be discounted. It's so important. And like I said, I can't wait to get back.
Yeah, absolutely. It's missing that kind of that oomph and that personality that just, okay, you can get fake crowd noise. And to be fair, I'm kind of weirdly thankful for that now, because I can't listen if there's nothing. It just sounds really weird, but it just needs to come back, and I hope it does soon. But anyways, let's wrap it up there. But before actually we do, where can people find you?
We're the Albion Roar on Twitter. We're on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, and of course on our podcast. We're everywhere, basically, so come say hi.
Absolutely.
But be nice, like you weren't last time.
Absolutely, always appreciate to have you on. It's always good to have these chats. It's always nice and relaxed and a good conversation. But like I said before, we'll wrap it up there. Of course, if you want to find me on Twitter, it's at @TalkAstonVilla. Tweet the team at 7500 Holt. Email the podcast holtcast@gmail.com. we'll wrap it up there. Hopefully an entertaining game that we can both agree on Saturday, but nonetheless, up the Villa.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.